In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. In a small, insignificant town of Nazareth, through the word of the angel Gabriel, Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. If there ever was such a thing as an unplanned pregnancy, this would be it. But like Sarah, like Rebecca, like Rachel, like Hannah, and like Elizabeth, she lives by faith in the Word of God. So the Blessed Virgin rose quickly and went with haste to carry her baby not to the political or religious center of Jerusalem, but to an unknown, unnamed town in the hill country of Judah, to the house of the doubting and mute priest Zechariah. Most women find out they are pregnant a few weeks after conception. Mary knew the exact hour. She's not even close to showing. But still, John leaps for joy in the presence of his God. This tiny, unformed baby that is still developing a head and body and limbs and fingers and organs is the eternal Son of God. He did not abandon us in our sin, but he entered into our sinful world in the same way that we enter into this sinful, bitter world. He was conceived in the womb. For what he does not take on, he will not redeem, and what he does not make his own, he will not exalt for all eternity. So his body is not simply part of him, but his body is him. Even as your body is not simply a part of you, but your body is you. So it is impossible for us to think, and sinful for us to think of the Son of God apart from his human flesh. He who fulfills all things lies hidden in the womb of the Virgin. John knew it, John believed it, and so John confessed it with a joyful leap. We can learn a few things about babies from this account, babies that are still in the womb. One, they are distinct persons from their mothers. As sad as it is to say that nowadays, it must be said. They are distinct persons. It is John who leaps for joy, not Elizabeth. It is John and Elizabeth and Mary that are filled with joy, not over Mary's presence, but over Jesus' presence. Also, the same word, baby, is used for those who are in the womb and those who have been born. And finally, babies, too, in the womb can believe. It is at the sound of Mary's voice that John leaps for joy, for faith comes by hearing the word. Mary speaks that word, and John rejoices. It is not some surreal feeling or sense that somehow we are in the presence of God because I just feel it. No, the Word of God testifies to the presence of God. The Word of God lets us know where he is present. God keeps his promise found in his Word. The gospel is now at hand. The fulfillment has come, and John cannot wait to bear witness to his Lord and Savior. He cannot wait to be born, but already, at 6 months old, he is testifying and fulfilling his office as forerunner of the Christ. By that same word, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she joyfully blessed the Lord and Mary. Now, when we think of blessings, we think of concrete physical things or people. Yet the word that is used for blessings here is the word that we derive our word eulogy from. It does not mean physical things, but it simply means to speak good things about someone. It's to praise when we speak it of God. So Elizabeth blesses Mary by giving her the title Mother of God. Again, Mary doesn't look pregnant. Most women at this stage would not even know that they are pregnant. She's barely in her first trimester. Elizabeth has just entered her third. And yet by faith, Elizabeth blesses Mary. By faith, Elizabeth blesses the child in Mary's womb. Any pregnancy is a time of great rejoicing. Whether it was planned or unplanned, yet this one is filled with so much more joy because this child is not only the son of a woman, but the very Son of God come to save fallen man. So let the earth rejoice. Let it sing for joy, not simply that a child is born, but that a man has come. Eve has her faithful son who will bring life into the world, not death, a resurrection, not murder, and joy, not tears. Eve thought she gave birth to God. She thought that her firstborn son was the Savior promised in the garden. Yet her son, Cain, brought only death. The honor of bringing God into the world belongs to Eve's virgin daughter. Eve's name means life, yet Cain brought only death. Mary's name means bitterness. And yet as the Lord turned the bitter waters of Marah into the sweet waters for Israel to drink, so the Lord has now turned the bitterness of pregnancy and the disappointment that sons bring to their mothers into the great joy and sweet waters that well up to eternal life. Life has burst forth in the desert, and streams now gush from the arid wasteland. God has visited his people. John weeps, Elizabeth blesses, and Mary sings. How can she not? By grace God sent his son. By grace he has remembered his mercy to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By grace he chose her to be the most blessed woman the world has ever known. She alone calls God her son. So she sings in faith. She sings as if salvation has already been accomplished. She sings in the past tense, not some future tense, because she believes that when God speaks, it will happen. This child will be born, though again, she can't even feel the fact she's pregnant. She lives by faith in the word of God. What he speaks will happen. He has not left her to wander in helplessness in this bitter world, trapped in sin and destined for death, but he has come to the aid of Mary, Elizabeth, John, and to our aid. Salvation resides within her womb, and she is now tasked with preserving that life. God certainly could have chosen someone else, but he did not choose someone else, he chose her. He chose her by grace, and so the happy new mother sings for joy her first lullaby to her son in what we call the Magnificat. She knows that God is now man. She believes that she is uniquely blessed. She knows it, but she also knows that this child will be a blessing to every nation. So what stands out most pointedly in this account is the presence of Jesus. Everything that happened is a result of the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb. Joy filled John, Elizabeth, and Mary because God is now man for them, to save them. Dear Christian, let the word open the eyes of faith. Let the word teach you God's presence. The incarnation is a reality. It is a historical event that we do celebrate on March 25th, and then 9 months later again with the birth of that child on December 25th. But it is a present reality for us this very day. God is man today. His promises are present today. The fulfillment is here today. The gospel has entered this time and this place. For the gospel is not just some idea or thought, but the gospel is Jesus Christ. So rejoice. He has helped us out of our sin by his atoning blood, and now he comes with that atoning blood to wash us clean from every stain. Christmas is not just a one-day celebration for us. It's not just one moment where we put up trees and give presents or sing nice songs that make us feel good. Christmas is our ever-present reality, for God is still man for us today. He has remembered his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be a blessing to every nation under heaven. And so he comes today to be a blessing to us here in this nation. Like Mary, in faith you rose up this morning and went quickly with haste to where your God is now present. Like John, in faith your heart leaps for joy. Like Elizabeth, in faith you bless the Lord, that is, you praise him for the great works that he has done for you. And like Mary, you depart from this house knowing and believing that the flesh and blood of God now dwells in you. So how could we ever be sad or sullen? Where has God failed you? Is his arm short? Is his strength weak? Is his power limited to only spiritual things? Where has he failed to deliver or help or save? Have you not read of his power that overcame diseases and sicknesses and paralysis and lameness and blindness and losing one's hearing and even death? If Mary could sing as if Christ has already accomplished salvation, then certainly we who know of his cross, his resurrection, and his ascension can sing the same. Your God is a God of salvation, who is now present to redeem you from this bitter earth. We are sad to know and filled with bitterness, bitter tears, that some mothers don't want to be mothers and view their babies as nothing more than a tumor. And yet Jesus scatters the proud in the imaginations of their heart. We are filled with bitter sadness that sinners have turned government and politics almost into a necessary evil. But Jesus shows the strength of his arm. We are filled with bitter sadness that our bodies ache and fail us and betray us. And yet Jesus has taken on our very flesh and body so that he might exalt us to God's right hand. We're filled with bitter sadness that more people do not gather with us on this day to celebrate what our God has done. We wonder what the state of this congregation might be, what the state of churches throughout the world might be. But Jesus has promised to help his servant Israel in remembrance of his promises. He remembers his mercy. He will save. He will deliver. The world is a hard and bitter place to live in. But God has turned our bitterness to joy, our sorrow to happiness, and our brokenness to rejoicing. He has helped his servant Israel even as he has promised, and still today he comes to help us, his holy Israel. So let the ears of faith open the mouths of faith to leap with John, to bless with Elizabeth, and to sing with Mary. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King in blessed bread and wine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.